All right, we're actually in our third message on the Melchizedek government. We started it a couple weeks ago. I'll give you a little bit of refresher on it. I'm going to take you a long way. I'm taking you from Melchizedek to Abraham to David tonight, Lord willing. All right, so we're going to pick this up. Talking about the Melchizedek government now. All right, let's begin in Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, very unique man. He was a man. All right. They have a lot of weird things going on about Melchizedek, but he was a man and he was king of Salem. Now, Salem, if you add Jerub in front of it, you get Jerusalem. David, when he became king, he named the city of David Jerusalem, but Melchizedek was originally the king and the high priest. That's very important because he started all this. Do you understand that? All right. Priest of the Most High God. Very unique operation to be a high priest and a king at the same time. It's not a new thing. It's a very old thing. It's a very unique thing. And it's a very unique form of government, and it's coming back into the body of Christ in fullness. Amen. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, Abraham blessed Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the one that did the blessing. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek because he recognized his authority. But Melchizedek blessed him. That blessing is huge. Say, huge. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation the king of righteousness, after that the king of Salem, or Jerusalem, which is the king of peace. Now drop down to verse 6. Now verse 3 talks about being without father, without mother. He had a father and mother, he just didn't come out of the Levitical lineage. That's what he was talking about. He was called after the order of Melchizedek. He was making a point that Jesus did not come out of the tribe of the Levites the same way Melchizedek did not. God called them outside of the priesthood with an oath. So he didn't have a father, a lineage of a natural father coming out of a priesthood because they ordered all those lineages and they recorded them. He didn't have that recorded because God called him like he did the Lord with an oath. Amen. We can't get into that. We've got into that a lot. If I get in there, it will be 30 minutes. Verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them or from the Levites received tithes of Abraham and blessed him, you want to underline this, that had the promises. Verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less Abraham, the better Melchizedek. This is speaking strictly of authority. When Abraham came from that slaughter of king, he recognized the authority of Melchizedek, and he tithed to him. Melchizedek recognized Abraham carrying the promises, and he released a blessing upon him. He blessed that seed that Abraham was carrying. What's that seed? Not just Isaac and Jacob, the 12 patriarchs. It was that other seed, Galatians 3 was spoken about. Melchizedek knew a forerunner was coming. He knew and he saw Christ in the loins of Abraham. That's why we got into all this very heavily. In Genesis 14, Melchizedek meets Abraham and blesses that seed. In Genesis 15 is when they cut the covenant. That blessing had to come into that covenant, see. Before God cut that covenant, that blessing of that king priest released because Melchizedek was forerunning for the final king priest. That's why he was called, Christ was called after the order of Melchizedek, and the blessing of Melchizedek was on him. Amen? That's heavy. You got to get that message. We got into that very deep. Oh, without all contradiction, the less. Isn't that amazing? I can't get over it. A man like Abraham was in the earth, but a man like Melchizedek was a greater authority, and two of them were in one generation. Whew. Now it said, it goes on to say, verse 9, And as I may say so, Levi also who received tithes, Levi was the Levitical priesthood. And what he's talking about, the Levitical priesthood was called the received tithes of the brethren. They all were gave in the Levitical priesthood, but Levi was paying tithes before he was ever born. Isn't that awesome? If I may say so, Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. He was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob has the 12 patriarchs. One of them was Levi. Levi was called after Moses' day when the law came. He was called to become the priesthood. God called him, but in the loins of Abraham, even Levi, before he's ever born, recognized the authority of Melchizedek. And he said, I'm called to receive him. But here's a man I'm called to give to. You see that? That's awesome. More importantly, when Abraham was giving, his generations were giving before they're ever born. When you give, your generations are giving before they're ever born. But there's somebody else in the loins of Abraham that was also looking for the day into receiving the blessing of Melchizedek. And it was Judas, not the one that followed the Lord. This was Judah. Named, he was one of the patriarchs. This is the one we're going to get into tonight. Amen? Awesome. All right. Go to Genesis 14. Let's go back and look at this. Now, it's very important. Genesis 12, God approaches Abraham twice before Melchizedek meets him. God approaches him in chapter 12 and chapter 13. He starts speaking about his seed. And he releases promises in chapter 12 and releases promises in 13. There's no talk about any kings coming out of Abraham's loins until Melchizedek meets him. Amen? Melchizedek is the original king priest called directly by God. Listen, he was a king of a city and he was a priest. He just didn't poof in midair. He was born. He had a father. He had a mother. But I definitely believe he's raptured. There's no doubt about it. He had a father and mother. He just didn't have one out of the Levitical line that was recorded. Okay? All right. Now, in Genesis 12, he said, I'll make of thee a great nation. Genesis 13, he comes again to him. And he says, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. And now Melchizedek comes and here's this king priest. And he walks upon Abraham and he sees the man carrying the promises. But he's carrying more authority than Abraham. And Abraham recognizes his authority. And he tithes to him. But Melchizedek blesses him that had the promises. What he was blessing him with was going to release into Abraham's generations because he saw the seed coming. But there was going to be a succession of king priests come out of Abraham's loins because Melchizedek releases that upon him. All right? And it just so happened that Judah picked up the kingly anointing. Well, we're going to get into that tonight. Amen? All right, look, Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, or Jerusalem, before it was called Jerusalem, isn't that amazing? Before David inherited that city, the Melchizedek was already in there. That's powerful. That's the city of the king priest. That's Zion. Jerusalem's the city of the king priest. But God had a lot of adding to do. Listen, God adds, subtracts, multiplies, and divides. Amen? Right now, God is infusing. He's birthing. He's planting. Everything he's doing, he's got to plant because he's going to reap a harvest. He's planting, all right? He comes and he's going to release an anointing. See, God infuses Abraham with these promises. He speaks the promise to him, and now he brings someone greater to release a blessing upon those promises. He's going to release a king priest government upon that seed before God cuts a covenant with Abraham. We got into that covenant very heavily. All right? Now watch this. Melchizedek, king of Salem or Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Very unique operation. It's coming into the earth in fullness, the birth of the dual oil, the sons of dual oil. I'm going to get in that next Thursday, hopefully. Sons of dual oil, that birth of the king priest. We see this, you're going to see so much change in the body of Christ. Because the kings carry weighty authority, apostolic authority, especially in the financial arenas. in the governing arenas. They carry it. Amen. Are y'all breathing? You can't amen. Everyone's practice. Ready? Amen. Hallelujah. And blessed him, verse 19, blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. Now, a lot of this blessing, he was also speaking to Abraham's seed, which was Christ. Melchizedek recognized he was carrying the promised one, and that's who he was really blessing, see. He's releasing his government upon Abraham. All right? Genesis 22, 17. Listen to this. What's the last thing Melchizedek says? Thine enemies will be delivered into thy hand. See, he releases that. And now, in Genesis 22, verse 16, listen to this. And said, by myself I've sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, as not withhold thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply as thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore. Thy seed, what? Will possess the gates of his enemies. Possess the gates of his enemies. What did Melchizedek say to him? Which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. Thy seed will possess, and he's really speaking of Christ. But his seed also, all through those generations, caught that blessing and that anointing. Amen? Now, it's really important to know, when God first came to Abraham in chapter 12 and verse 13, there was no mention of kings until a kingly anointing was released. God had a man walking in a king priest anointing. And when he released that anointing, in chapter 15, 14, God cuts the covenant. In chapter 15, what happens right after the covenant? Ishmael. Everybody say Ishmael. We all go through our Ishmaels. If Abraham did it, you're probably going to do it. Abraham had two sons. One was Ishmael, one was Isaac. Everybody has two sons in them. You got to get rid of that one son. That's why you're crucified with Christ, but raised with him in glory. He's crucifying one part of you and raising the other part of you. Crucifying Ishmael, raising Isaac. Crucifying the Ishmael in you, raising the Isaac in you. You can't just live in crucifixion all the time. You can't just be walking around dying all the time. You got to live. It's the Isaac in you that lives in resurrection life at the right hand of the Father. That's why we've got to ascend into that place with the Father. Amen. If all we do is die here, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. Everyone's going to partake of the sufferings of the cross, but you weren't called to just camp at the cross. There's only one part of you that's called to camp. And God's going to bind that part of you. He's going to bind your flesh to the cross. You can run, you can hide, you can fly, but he's going to keep pulling the cross like a magnet. Your flesh tries to run away from it. The cross goes. Ever been there? You try to run, no! And that magnet just keeps, no! See, it pulls you right back. I lived a lot of years at the cross. Got to go back to the cross. I'm like, is there anything else but the cross? And finally, God said, you know, the cross, that's not where your inheritance was. That was your door. Your inheritance is at the right hand. He didn't reconcile you to the cross. He reconciled you through the cross to himself. He only wanted one part of you to die at the cross so the other part could come up into him and live. You are dead. You got that part. That's the cross. Your life is hid with Christ in God in the Father. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections there. Ooh, shaka. Amen. All right. But there's no mention of kings until that blessing's released. That Ishmael, God had to deal with the Ishmael. He's going to deal with it in all of us. We all got to go through that. And there are repercussions of Ishmael. Always. But then when God deals with that, guess what he starts talking about? I like it. Go to Genesis 17. I got to get going. I'm not even through page one. I've got three pages here. Hallelujah. Genesis 17. I like this. Watch this. Now God starts, see, you got to see the planting of the Lord. I'm going to show you when God's planting his word, he's planting all up into your future. You just don't know it. Everything you're hearing, everything you're processing, everything that's being planted in you is going to release in a government. Sometimes you ain't functioning because the government has not come for you to function in. You might be called into a government that's not in the body yet. And you have to wait out your days until that government comes in. And once you plug in that government, everything starts multiplying. You go, oh my God, I just fit. It's like a glove. I fit. That's why, because that government's in. When it's not there, you got to wait it out. You got to look and see it from a distance. Say, I see it. I see it. I see it. That's like, be me. I got to preach it for 10 years, 12 years, going on 15 now. Be nice when it comes into the earth. Say, what's it look like? I'll tell you when it shows up. Genesis 17, verse 3, and Abraham fell on his face. Man, God talked directly with Abraham, but it said Melchizedek was a greater anointing. Imagine what Melchizedek was getting if Abraham was getting personal visitations from God. More than about 3, 4, 5 times. I wonder what Melchizedek was getting, because he was greater in authority. Wow. I want some Melchizedek anointing. I'm going to show you, if you stay with me, it went all the way through the cross. That Melchizedek government's in you. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold. Now, here's the revelation. God blesses the Abraham. Melchizedek blesses the seed in Genesis 14. A king priest comes along and releases his anointing. Now watch what God starts talking about. Verse 5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but Abraham. You're now a father of many nations. For a father of many nations have I made thee. See, now Abraham's authority is beginning to expand now. You see that? And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings will come out of thee. It's the first time he mentions that. Kings will come out of thee. He goes on to tell Sarah, kings will come out of thee. He visits in chapter 35, Isaac. He said, Isaac, king, actually Jacob, he visits in chapter 35, Jacob. I want you to look at this Jacob, because Jacob, one of Jacob's sons, going to catch the whole kingly lineage. He's going to catch all of it. Man, I want to be him. Amen. I mean, he caught it all. Not only did that, he caught something else. Levite caught the Old Testament priesthood, but Judah caught all of it. I know you don't know what I'm talking about just yet, but we'll get there. Genesis 35, verse 10. So he blesses this. Now watch this. Genesis 35, verse 10. And God said unto him, Jacob, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel. God, at many times, will change your name. He may not change your name. He might change the name of your church. He might change the name. Because what happens, who you are before is one person. But when he starts changing your identity, you're going to become somebody else. You're going to have another function. Like, this place might not be called Houston Revival Center in a new future. It might have an identity shift. Do you understand that? There's a different function coming. God will rename you when you qualify. He's renaming Jacob. He said, your name is now Israel. Man, what did he do with that name? Praise God forever. But Israel shall be thy name, and he shall be called his name Israel. Verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty.
I am God Almighty.
Be fruitful and multiply. When God tells you to be fruitful and multiply, you better get ready. I'm telling you right now, under God's government, there was a king priest anointing released into Abraham's generations. Isaac caught it. Jacob caught it. God changed his name to Israel. And then God comes to him and said, now, Israel, get ready. You notice these guys, they go up and they sojourn, or they wander on their own for a long time. And all of a sudden they wander a long time. And then all of a sudden when God gets ready, they release. Sometimes you can wander, isolation, solitude. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody wants to know who you are. You can't even buy disciples. I mean, you know, that's the way it is. And all of a sudden, because God's doing something, kaboom, he shows up. He shifts your identity. He shifts your name. He changes everything. And then he speaks those marvelous words, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, when you're in training, you're not going to be fruitful and multiply. You're going to divide and subtract. You might as well know that. In training, you get subtracted and you get divided. You're broken. You get the winnowing fork. You get the furnace of affliction. You get all that. There's no getting around that. That part of you has to go under that. You got to go under the master's rod like that. See? But then there's a day he brings you out. When he brings you out and God sets that favor on you, when you got favor, everybody knows it. He's going to change everything, and everything is about to shift. He says, now, Jacob, be fruitful now and multiply. You're about to have 12 sons. They're going to change the world. Hallelujah. 12 sons. Divide 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12. Do that about 10 times and you can understand, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Now watch this. A nation and a company of nations. Isn't it amazing how God, in your isolation, in your loneliness, when you're alone, starts talking to you about being fruitful, multiplying nations. He'll start talking. Say, God, I can't get 50 people to show up. And God starts talking about nations. Nations. It'd be nice if just 100 people would show up with nations. Well, he's telling Abraham, oh, just give me one. Just give me one son. He's begging God, give it to me out of Eleazar. Let him be my son. I mean, Abraham was constantly trying to cut a deal with God. He had Eleazar. Eleazar was his servant born in his house. He said, let him be my heir. That's what happens, see, because it's human sufficiency trying to birth something. The church ain't never going to birth the Melchizedek government in human sufficiency. I'm telling you right now, that government don't birth that way. See, Abraham was carrying something big, and he kept trying to make it happen. See, God had to get all that out of him. He said, let Eleazar do it, God. And then Eleazar, and then God cuts the covenant with him. And then he said, well, it's Ishmael. Let's do it. You see how human sufficiency advances. In chapter, I believe it was 14 or 15, before Ishmael, it's Eleazar, see? See, because he's trying to make that happen. You go through all that. And then when that didn't work, then they take it to another level. You got to watch it when you take it to another level. You get big trouble when you start taking things to another level. And see, God just sits there and waits because he's got to get all that out of you. We've been through that. Everyone say, we're through that. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who've been around here for a while know we've gotten all through that. Praise God. But then Ishmael comes, see, and Abraham, and then when that's all done, then God starts, now he's coming. And we start talking to Abraham, he says, nations, look at the stars, look at the sand, that's your descendants. And Abraham's going, just give me one. You talking to me about millions, I just want one. God doesn't think like that. Amen. And he said, God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful. And multiply, nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins, Israel. Whew. Where do you think those kings came from? Melchizedek. He started all of it. But Israel, one of Israel's sons, is going to inherit the kingly anointing. Amen. Y'all ready for this? Taking a long time to get there. Go to Genesis 49. Now here is where Jacob's at the end of his life. He's giving instructions to be buried in the same cave, Machpelah, that Abraham was buried in, Isaac was buried in, Sarah was buried in. And now he's going to be here. All their wives were buried in there. That cave of Machpelah was in Mount Hebron. He's given instruction. Before this, he's blessing, all right? He's going to release the blessing on his 12 children. And one of them is going to pick up the kingly anointing, all right? Look at verse 8, Genesis 49. Judah. Ever heard that term, lion of the tribe of Judah? But Judah inherits the priestly too. Man, Judah got a big one. See, the Levites got it in the old, but Judah got it all in the new. He got the king and the priest born out of his lineage, and he got the two cities in his territory. If you look in the book of maps, you ever look in the book of maps? You look back there when they draw out, both Mount Hebron and Jerusalem are both in Judah. He gets both mountains in his territory, both mountains in his blessing, both anointings coming out of his lineage. And he bursts the King of Kings, and he bursts the high priest out of his loins. God bypassed the children of the Levites, and he pulled Christ up out of Judah, a high priest and a king. It's awesome. All right, continue. Genesis 49, verse 8, Judah, you are the one whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. I like that. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. He's talking about authority here. Verse 9, Judah. Now watch this. A lion's cub. You're going to start small, but you're the lion. The lion was the king of all the beasts. You can say it like this. The lion was the man. He was it. When the lion roars, nobody questions his authority. Amen. You're going to start as a cub, but you're going to grow up into the mountains. All right. You're receiving the kingly anointing. Right here, Jacob's releasing Melchizedek's kingly anointing upon Judah. Right here. Now catch this, because once that blessing releases, it goes through all history. God raises up kings out of this lineage. All right. Judah, a lion's cub. With a prey, my son. I'm reading out of the Amplified now, verse 9. With a prey, my son, you have gone high up the mountain. See, the kingly anointing has to go high up the mountain. You got to get up there. You got to walk high. You got to walk in the high places with God if you're going to inherit these things. These things are not in the low places. This government's not birthed in the low places. It's not birthed of man. It's in the high places. It's in the right hand of the Father. Amen. He stooped down. Now he's talking about him in full age. He said, you're going to start as a lion's whelp. You're a cub. But then you're going to be full age. You're going to grow up into full age. See that blessing. Oh, man. He stooped down. I am determined to receive the blessing of this lineage because you get both mountains. You get Jerusalem and Mount Hebron. You get it all. Amen. He stooped down. He crouched like a lion. Like a lioness, who dares provoke and arouses him? This is where the lion of the tribe of Judah comes from, Christ. All right. Here he speaks of his kingly anointing in verse 10. The scepter of leadership shall not depart from Judah. The scepter of leadership shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh, the Messiah, the peaceful one, comes to whom it belongs. You will carry the scepter. Now watch this. Melchizedek releases the anointing upon Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now Jacob's releasing the kingly anointing from Melchizedek upon Judah. He says, your lineage will carry it until the one comes to whom all this belongs. You see that? He releases that anointing because he sees the one bearing the promise. But all these kings are going to receive that blessing of Melchizedek until the one who's born, whom it all belongs. Melchizedek's government's going to go all the way through to Christ, and it's going to release into Christ. And that's why he's called after the order of Melchizedek, because he is a king priest born out of that order, born out of that oil, born out of that mantle, born out of that anointing. Ooh, hallelujah. And we are going to see that government into the earth. Hallelujah. Whew. I'm going to read again. This is out of the Amplified, verse 10. Got to get this. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, get it. Verse 10, the scepter of leadership. Scepter, that's a king scepter. The kingly anointing of leadership. The kingly government shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Until Shiloh come. Now Shiloh was speaking of the Messiah, the peaceful one. Till Shiloh comes to whom it belongs. That's amazing. You're going to carry a scepter that belongs to Christ, but your generations are going to carry it all the way until he shows up, and God's going to fulfill his promise to Abraham. But Melchizedek released the government into Abraham. Christ receives all of it. Guess what? Dies in your place, you die with him, raised to Father's glory, sat down at the right hand of the Father, you sit down with him, and he shares all of this as a joint heir with you. But all of it lives in the right hand. It doesn't live here until we get to the right hand. That's where it all flows. Come sit here at my right hand till I make all your enemies a footstool. Your enemies are not going to be made a footstool until you learn to sit down at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. That's a time you can amen. Right there. Everyone say amen. 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 Glory. Glory. Say, that's good stuff. Not only did Judah get that scepter. In Psalms, go over there, Psalm 60, verse 7. I'm going to try to be real precise with you, though. I want you to get this and see this, because this is history. But it's history of God's faithfulness and promise. All culminates into Christ, that culminates into you. Amen? Everyone say, I have the Melchizedek government in me. Psalm 60, verse 7, Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of my head, till he turned back in the day of battle, lost his glory, and the ark went to Jerusalem. Of course, we'll just pass by that one. It says, Judah is my lawgiver. I thought that Levi was his lawgivers, because the law came out of Levi. He said, Judah is my lawgiver. This was speaking prophetically of another day when the lion of the tribe of Judah, he would be a priest upon a kingly throne. He would release the word of the Lord from a kingly throne, but he would be a high priest that passed in the heavens, that sits down in a kingly throne. Guess what? You sit with him. You see the king, he said, the scepter, Judah's on you, but you're also the lawgiver. Man, Judah got it. I'm telling you, if you look in the book of maps in your Bible, don't go doing it now, but your Bible will have the 12 patriarchs regions in the back separate. I know some of you just can't wait to do it. You can do it anyway. But if you'll look, they draw out Judah's borders, all right? There's two big things in Judah's border. All the Levites were situated right in here. Because God knew. See, Mount Hebron. Who was Mount Hebron given to? We did this in the offering. We'll look at this in a minute. The priesthood, right? And Jerusalem were all in Judah's territory. He got them both. That's huge. How many of you want to be into Judah? Or better yet, Judah's in you. Amen? Listen. When Abraham met Melchizedek, if Levi was tithing through Abraham to Melchizedek, Judah was also recognizing Melchizedek's authority and said, I bow down to receive that. Before he's ever born, he's receiving that. Guess what? All down through those lineages, Christ also received that. And he was born. God raised him to the highest place, and he shares every bit of it with you. All of it. Amen. Now, let's do this pretty quick here. I wanna share something with you. Go to Genesis 4. You're in 49, okay? He blesses. Now he gives instructions. Since we're here in 49, stay in 49. Because now he's going to give instruction to be buried into this mountain, all right? Genesis 49, verse 28. And these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is that their father spake to them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said to them, I am gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought. Look, I want you to see this, verse 31. I want you to see this in your Bible. Very important. Judah's going to get it all. Watch. Then they buried Abraham and Sarah. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah. There they buried Leah. And now Jacob's about to be buried. All these men carrying this blessing, carrying kings, carrying nations, carrying the blessing of Melchizedek. All of them carrying it gets buried right into that field, in that cave of Machpelah. Now, just so you know where that cave is, just drop down to verse Genesis 23 real quick. Verse 19. Put your finger, stay in Genesis 49. I want you to show you this. Genesis 49, verse 30. Put your finger there. Put one finger there. If you've got two hands in this place, put one finger in Genesis 49, verse 30. Put the other finger in Genesis 23, verse 19. All right? Are you there? Genesis 49, verse 30. Watch this. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah. Genesis 23, 19. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. This same cave is Hebron. Mount Hebron. Now they get buried in that mountain, all of them. This is amazing. You got to watch what's happening. Because Melchizedek releases that glory and all of them pick it up, but all of that gets buried in there. Now they go on to Egypt. Meanwhile, that mountain's starting to produce some big, heavy stuff for 400 years while they're in Egypt. God planting. You see how God plants? He's planted that mountain. That anointing's in that mountain. Well, the devil comes along. He knows it's in there too. So what's he send? He sends the sons of Anak into that mountain. They start reaping of the inheritance that God planted in that mountain. 400 years later, the spies come in to the promised land. The very first place they go is Mount Hebron. They go in, turn down south, and there they are. That's where the produce is. That's where the grapes are. That's where two men carrying out the harvest, all of that sitting in that mountain, Melchizedek's glories in that mountain, a king priest anointings in that mountain. God, watch the circle that's going to happen here. You got to stay with me. I'm going to give you something because a big circle is going to happen. God had the planet. He got it into the earth. He got it into Abraham. And he's going to bring it back to Jerusalem. He's going to bury it in Mount Hebron, but he's going to bring it all the way back to Jerusalem. This is awesome. And then Jerusalem's going to feed it up into Mount Zion. And Mount Zion turns into the heavenly Jerusalem, the right hand of the Father. But we'll get there. Amen. Y'all ready for this? All right. Oh, side note. Go to Numbers chapter 2. I got to give you this. I just found this today. We're going to get back to Mount Hebron in a minute. Because I want to show you the circle. Because David picks all this up and he takes it to Jerusalem. And God replants the king priest anointing in Jerusalem, operating out of Abraham's seed. Just amazing stuff going on. Oh, that's in me. Everyone say, it's in me. It's coming into the earth. If God can get it through all these, He's going to get it through us. Whew. Side note. If I'm facing north, that's south. If I'm facing north, right would be east, right? Left would be west, all right? Watch this. Guess where Judah, guess where he sits. Verse 1, Numbers chapter 2, the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, the Israelites shall encamp, each by his own tribe, standard or banner, with the ensign of his father's house, opposite of the tent of the meeting, facing it on every side, on the east side, at the right hand. The east side is on the right hand. Towards the sunrise. So you know they're facing north, because the sun rises from the east. At the right hand, that's where Judah camps. He gets the inheritance of the right hand. Do you see that? Where's the ark? God's in the ark. Guess where Judah gets to camp? He's there, and then the other two behind him, he gets inset into the right hand. Judah gets the right hand. Judah gets the king. Judah gets the priest. He get it all. He's going to get Mount Hebron. You want to bet? Watch this. Okay, that side note, come back. All right? Numbers 13. Stay with me. We're moving now. Man, I'll tell you, the word's so rich. It's so amazing. Numbers 13. This is before they're going in. This is awesome. Verse 1, Numbers 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan. Now, before he sends them, now I want you to see this, which I give unto the children of Israel. Now, remember, God planted all this before, okay? Well, I give the children, in every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. Okay? So out of the 12 tribes, each man, they choose the ruler of the tribe, and he goes. Well, guess where Caleb comes from? He's already picking up a kingly anointing before there are kings. Watch this. Verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb was chosen. That's awesome. Now go to Numbers chapter 14. Now, they go on in. You know the story. They go down into Mount Hebron. They go into the Valley of Eshcol. They see the grapes. They see the massive produce, because that anointing was buried in that mountain. Just like Elisha's bones, that anointing was still in his bones, and that dead Moabite hit his bones. And he came alive. See, that anointing was on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All that, the Melchizedek government was all in this mountain. God put it in Mount Hebron, see. Now he's birthing the kingly anointing, all right? He puts it into this mountain. He sends his people back 400 years to come get his inheritance. One big problem, the sons of Anak are sitting on there. But that's not a problem for God. It was only a problem for them. God said, that's your mountain. That's my mountain. I planted it. I want my harvest. When God gets ready to get his harvest, somebody's going to get it. There is a government right here. It's fixing to release into the body of Christ. Somebody's going to get that government. And when that thing releases, because Mount Hebron's in that government, I'm going to show it to you right now. And Jerusalem, the Zion's in that government, is all there. All right? So they come in, they see it, they give an evil report. Caleb looks at that and says, oh my God, I'm from Judah. I am a king. The kings are coming out of Judah. They don't call them kings yet, but I'm one. Something in him knew he was a king. He had to go back for 45 years. He's 40 years old when he had to go back 45 years. He comes back. At 80 years old, they entered the promised land. He fights with all his brothers for 5 years, but then it's time. At 85 years old, this man could not forget what he saw at 40. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. There's something in that mountain. You got that right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Melchizedek, all the glory of the king-priest government sitting in that mountain. And Caleb, I want it! It belongs to me! He's from Judah. He's the first real one that's going to get it too. I mean, already the first man's going to come up out of Judah that's going to start inheriting here. He sees that. Now watch this. Whoa. I love it. Joshua 14. Are you in 14? Joshua 14. You can read about that in Numbers 14, about them going into Mount Hebron. Well, I'm out of the wilderness now. You got to follow me. Hey, we're coming out of the wilderness. Everybody say, I'm coming out. And hey, you get that message. We talked about the kingly anointing's coming out first. You got to get that. When he sent the children of Israel out, he sent them with the gold and silver. Then they built the tabernacle. When Zerubbabel and Joshua was waiting to come out of Babylon, Cyrus gives them the grant. And then they come out and build the temple. Before Peter gets his commission, he has the catch, the commission, then the book of Acts. See, the wealth on this one's coming first. No garage sales or bake sales for this government. And this government's coming. It's going to be big. Called pre-funded government. Moses stopped the offerings. We got enough. Probably we don't see that. We have the old order going right now. When this government comes in, there's going to be so much you don't even know what to do with it. I'm telling you right now. The wealth of the world is not lacking. All right. Joshua 14, verse 10. And now. Everyone say now. Now, Lord. Now is the time. Get me out of this wilderness. Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years. Now, he was 40 when he got his trip. He's been in the wilderness for 45 years. How'd you like to do everything perfect with God? He did everything perfect and had to go suffer for 45 years with the unbelief of the others. That's just wrong. That's wrong. All this man's known for 85 years. 85 years is the brickyards of Egypt for the first 40 and for 45 wandering in the wilderness eating manna every day. That's all he's ever seen in one trip in the promised land. Never forgot it. He knew what was in that mountain. I believe the Father gave him some insight what was going on in that mountain. I believe the Father showed him, Caleb, you're from Judah, buddy. I want you to know what's in this mountain. Melchizedek's anointing's in this mountain. Abraham's in this mountain. Jacob's in this mountain. Isaac kings are in this mountain. Caleb, I want you to have this mountain. You're faithful to me. You had to go back in the wilderness because you followed me holy, Caleb. Because you followed me with holy, I'm going to give you this mountain. Not only am I going to give it to you, I'm going to give it to a great ancestor coming. I mean, one coming up out of your loins. David's going to get it too. And then he's going to take this mountain to Jerusalem. He's going to reemerge as the kingly anointing and set it in Jerusalem. And then he's going to release the priestly office out of Jerusalem. Okay, I'm going to try to give you all that in 10 minutes, all right? And behold, the Lord kept me alive and said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Thank God I'm not 85 yet. I have time to inherit. I don't want to wait till I'm 85. And as yet I am strong this day. Look at the resolve in this man. As I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even it is strength now for war, both to go out and come in. This is 85 years old. I won't get a show of hands anybody here in 85, but if you hadn't made it to 85, you got time. You got time. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me Abraham's anointing. Give me Jacob's. Give me Isaac. Give me Melchizedek's government. I want this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, verse 12, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. He gave it to Judah as the first king to inherit the kingly mountain, the king anointed all that produce, all that wealth that was in that mountain. That whole mantle, that generational inheritance fell upon Caleb right there. God almighty. When that gets on you, it doesn't matter what comes against you, it's all over. Once you get that kind of favor and what kind of glory on you, I'm telling you, it'll start multiplying into the earth and nothing will stop it. I want this government. I want this mountain and the one to come. All of them are in the land of Judah. I want Judah's inheritance. The lion of Judah's in me. The high priest that come out of Judah's in me. He's sharing that inheritance. That government is in us. Because we're in him. Amen. All right. Hey, we're right there. All right. Verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Look at the last part. Because that he wholly followed the Lord. When you wholly follow the Lord, God's going to give you something very great. This mountain does not come to people that do not wholly follow the Lord. People just check in and check out will never receive this kind of inheritance. Only to those who wholly follow the Lord are going to receive the treasures that are there. They're going to receive it big time. Everyone say big time. When it shows up, it'll show up big time. This mountain doesn't know how to give drops. It's a river. It doesn't know any other way. It's just, it's more than enough. Amen? I love it. Now, we got into this during the offering. You can look back up in Joshua 21. You can just write down Joshua 21. But after Caleb inherited all this, he gave it to Aaron. Now, Aaron was a very specific. He's the one that served in the tabernacle. He was a specific part of Levi, and he gave that to Aaron, his sons. He sat. Now, watch this. He sat the priest right into that mountain. You see what God's doing? Once Caleb inherited, God, can you imagine going to 85 years? He receives the treasure because he wholly follows the Lord, and he gives the best part of it to the priest. He said, I'll take the suburbs. This mountain's so great, I'll just have the suburbs. The stuff coming out of the side of this mountain, there's plenty. And he sets the priest right into this mountain. And in Joshua 21, here we go. We got the kings and the priests being crowned in a kingly mountain. Do you see that? He sets it in right there. Awesome. Now you got the priest and the kings. All this is in the territory of Judah here. Now God's got to get it back to Jerusalem because Jerusalem's going to become Zion. Jerusalem's going to become the heavenly. That's the place for us. He's got to get all of that planting. You see the circle here? He takes all that planting. He's got to move it all to Jerusalem. So what's he do? Caleb drives out the sons of Anak. He drives them to Ashdod and Gath for another day and another son of Anak, giant of Anak. He comes out of Gath named Goliath, comes out original descendant, and he starts challenging the children of Israel once again. The same way they challenged them before, God had to raise up another man that wholly followed the Lord, see? Because he's going to have to take this giant down. And David do? He does the same thing that Caleb did. He speaks the same way that Caleb did. They both, if you compare the way both of them speak, do that one time. Look at Caleb and look at David. They speak the same way. They have the same spirit on them. They have the same tenacity. They're kings. Guess where David's from? Judah. Now, this king, God's fixing to culminate it. So he takes Goliath down. He has to suffer in the wilderness. Everyone's going to go through that wilderness. But when it comes time for his crowning, Ziklag. Always before the blessing, always before the priesthood shows up, the kingly anointing is going to birth first. So in Ziklag, David recovers all and he sends offerings to 14 different nations. All right? Now, God, amazingly enough, he doesn't take him to Jerusalem to crown him. He's got to take him to Mount Hebron first and crown him with the entire inheritance of that mountain. It's very important because he's going to receive all of that. And then he's going to take it to Jerusalem. And when he does, God's going to set the inheritance of that mountain. He's going to move it to Jerusalem. And now he's got the king and the priest, both in the land of Judah, all of it set down in Jerusalem that turns into Mount Zion. That turns into the heavenly Jerusalem. And that inheritance is where you sit down at the right hand of the Father. The reason why the church has not received this inheritance, they're not sitting at the right hand of the Father. I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That spiritual blessing will quickly turn into natural blessing. Very quickly, when we start sitting into the right hand of the Father, all that's there. All right, we're going to close here, but I want to show you this. All right? 2 Samuel, verse 2. Go there real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 2. It's important you know how much God has been working, implanting, watching over generation after generation. It doesn't go away. It sits there until someone picks it up. Somebody's fixing to pick up the Melchizedek government. And it's going to explode into the earth. When it does, it'll be a breed of kings carrying a priestly glory, crowned in a kingly anointing. They'll have two major rivers, wealth and ministry, power and glory, wisdom and might, all clothed in the love of the Father. It's the Father's house. It's the Father's government. It's the Father's doing. It's the Father's. It's the temple. All that water is coming up out of the temple, of Ezekiel's temple, that breaks out on the right hand of the Father. All that water's been sitting there. All that planting sitting that well. And when it releases up Ezekiel's river, remember, it broke out of the right side of the temple. It breaks out of the right hand. Those who are sitting at the right hand receive the inheritance of all that living inheritance, living water. And then it starts flowing. It flows into the Dead Sea, and everything that's dead will live again. Everything's going to break out of the right hand. Say, right hand. That's where I want to be sit. I want to be sitting at the right hand. When it breaks out, you're not in the right hand, you're going to miss it. I'm telling you right now. Everything that God's about to do, He's going to do out of the right hand. The church is ineffective right now because they're not functioning from the position of the right hand. When the church comes into the right hand, oh my God, let us have a commission to speak of the right hand. Only a commission will let you take that kind of message to the nations. But when God gives that commission, if we can speak of the right hand to the nations and help people come into the right hand to receive all this inheritance, the church will metamorph in the right hand. They'll metamorph from powerless institution to something that's so glorious, even the world will have to take note and say, oh my God, what is this? The world is not impressed because we're not functioning from the right hand right now. But we will. Amen. 2 Samuel. Shikababa. Rama subande la vrosti fribande esturuma sande. Bo se pratati borondi batusta tarima. Andalashti frubo. Remba banduli kassande. Hear the sound, says the Spirit of grace, of a new day and a new wine coming from this place. For the days of the wilderness are soon coming to an end, and into the promised land shall you go, bearing this government, says the Spirit of the Lord. Out of the right hand shall it flow. Come up, come up, come up, for it's free to all. All that will make their journey, all that will make that journey, says the Spirit of grace. Those that will not turn back, those that will not turn aside as Ephraim did, those that will continue to press in through the veil, whither the forerunner has went, those I will cause to sit down with me. Those will be in position, says the Spirit of grace, to receive all of this authority. So let it be, Father. So let it be. Release, 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 release. Really, Father, we will ride into glory by your word. We'll ride into glory by truth. We come into Zion to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come through the truth, by the truth. We come through the door of truth, and He's brought us to you, Father, reconciled unto you, to sit down with you and watch our enemies being put under our feet, Father. I decree the Melchizedek government into the earth, into the earth, into manifestation, the Mount Hebron inheritance, the Capernaum inheritance, Zion releasing into the earth. The waters of Zion releasing into the earth, breaking out of the right hand. We are of Judah. We're situated in the right hand. Pusha babranda. Ora babraso. Branda brandase. Father, ever let everyone under the sound of my voice receive the inheritance of that government. Receive it as forerunners. Father, raise forerunners that will run with the feet of Elijah, the speed of Elijah, carrying it to nations. Let this message break out fast and hard. Let it run, Father, with jet speed, Father. Let it run with the feet of Elijah, Father. Let it run to the nations. Let that army that's awaiting hear that clarion call to come up into the right hand, to sit down and administrate all this government, all this anointing, all these mantles culminating and releasing. Whew. I feel glory in this place. Rada branda se brandeken. We're kind of done preaching. Amen. Well, there you can read about it. He crowns David. He spends 7 years in Mount Hebron. He gets that full inheritance. See, he has to spend 7 years. It's the number of God. He gets the inheritance. All of that gets into David. Then he marches it to Jerusalem. He brings the ark into Jerusalem. Melchizedek's king, priest, governments get set back into Jerusalem again in a new order through Abraham's lineage now, through the lineage of Judah. There's a brand new king, priest administrating from Jerusalem. It sets up the greatest generational reign the Old Testament had ever known, from David out of Judah, Solomon out of Judah, Josiah out of Judah, Zerubbabel out of Judah, all the way into whom that promise was made. Christ called out of the order of Melchizedek. He calls him out by an oath. This is my son. All of this inheritance is in him now. All of it. A high priest and a king. I give it all to him. And he's given it all to us. And this government's coming in. Hallelujah.